said we was going to do things a little bit different, but at any time if someone has a testimony and the Lord's wanting you to stand and give, you give it. But right now, we've got a preacher with us that's got to get back over to Cottageville about 7 o'clock, I'd say. He told me he's going to be late, but we're going to listen to him sing first before he goes. He's pulling a little bit of double duty, so with that in mind, if the Jennings family would come, we'll turn the service over to them. Praise the Lord. Y'all pray for them as they come. Thank the Lord for them. And someone with a witness while he comes. Don't be quiet. Don't be nervous because somebody different in the house now.
Stand with us. We got to sing a song together, all right? How about Amazing Grace? I don't know what page that would be in your hymnal, but I feel confident you probably know that song. All right. Thankful for Amazing Grace, aren't you? I was just standing up here thinking as we were singing that used to come here some when I was a younger man. Been here a few times visiting for your revivals and stuff as an older man. But I'm thankful that the grace of God has kept me all through those years. Amen. It's just amazing to me. So you feel free to mind the Lord. Now, they actually asked Courtney to come sing. I'm a tag-along. Okay, they asked her to come. Every now and then she likes to take me with her. I don't know why. Maybe it makes her feel better after you hear me sing. But you mind the Lord. Just do whatever he asks you to do. If you need to pray, you pray. You need to testify, shout, whatever. Just mind the Lord. You want to sing, jump up and sing.
Surely be me, and I thought I could be. thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as mighty and grand, but Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. A mountain too high in the valley.
With you. So if you got a testimony, you need to come and pray. You're not going to get in our way and you're not going to bother us. You know, it's all about the Lord anyway. It's not about me. It's not about the old man. It's about the Lord, you know, and we're here to worship him with you.
Tear that I cry, and he knows my name when I'm over.
today I faced a mountain once again. It seemed so tall I tried to climb, but it seemed I'd surely fall. So I knelt and called on Jesus. Just as always I felt his presence, his hand of mercy lifted me just in time. I want to thank him, I want to praise him, for his grace has been sufficient, and like before, he's given victory one more time. He was always standing by my side when the valley was low and the river was wide. I want to thank him, I want to praise him one more time. Now looking back upon this journey, since the day that I first met him, many times his love and mercy has rescued me. So again, I come before him. One more time, I stand to praise him for all his blessings. He has been so good to me. I want to thank him, I want to praise him, for his grace has been sufficient, and like before, he's given victory one more time. He was always standing by my side when the valley was low and the river was wide. I want to thank him, I want to praise him one more time. I want to thank him, I want to praise him, for his grace has been sufficient, and like before, he's given victory one more time. He was always standing by my side when the valley was low and the river was wide. I want to thank him, I want to praise him one more time.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Someone want to take an opportunity?
Right.
know, it says in the Bible that God will give us the desires of our heart. And I was listening to his testimony, and I was thinking about that. The desire is there, and you know God will be there and blessing that. And I'm just so thankful when we come upon things in life that we're not expecting, that we don't know is there. You know, it's not a surprise to God. God knew it was coming, and he knows that we're going to walk through it, and he's right there to carry us through it. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's going to be all right. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. Oh, and every time you asked me, did it not deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I?
Isn't he a great God? Amen. And I was thinking, the Bible says that ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I thought of the first song that she sang about He Knows My Name. And I got to thinking, you know, I can remember the day I got saved. I was only 6 years old. I was a young man and young boy, child. And I don't remember a whole lot of everything, but I remember why I got saved. I had a Sunday school teacher that morning tell me about an awful place called hell at 6 years old. And what got me was she said I'd be cast into outer darkness, and I was afraid of the dark. And it got my attention, but she told me that I didn't have to go there, that I could go to a better place called heaven. All I had to do was ask a man named Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come live in my life. And I did that day, but I can remember kneeling down beside the bed with my dad, and I can remember saying, Jesus, this is Kevin Jennings. I want him to know who I was. But see, he already knew my name. He knew me. He told Jeremiah Watt that he knew him before he formed him. And I'm so thankful for that tonight.
Church, and he
This next song we're going to do, the Lord put it on my heart about 4 years ago to start writing songs. So this is the first song I wrote, and it came from John chapter 8.
Yeah.
The woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. And, you know, by the law, it said that she was to be stoned. And there wasn't anything else that could save her. But, you know, Jesus extended pardon to her. And he forgave her of her sins, you know, and he told her to go and sin no more. And, you know, I was thinking about that, how he did that in our lives, too. You know, we, like, as people, we measure our sin and we say, well, this sin's worse than that sin. But, you know, to God, it's all sin. And we all needed him and we all needed grace. And I'm so thankful that he thought that each and every one of us were worth Calvary.
Far beyond the things you
Thank you. Thank you. Bless his heart. Y'all pray for his service. Thank the Lord for him. Yes, have him come back. For sure. Someone else with a testimony. Bless you. Yes. Thank the Lord. Amen. Someone else. I'm soaking it up. I ain't been here in a month. I'm soaking it in. It's all good. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Tell you, Joe, I'm like you. I miss coming to church. I do, and I don't know how to equate it, but when you, Brother Hill, when you've been deployed, sometimes you don't get to bathe as often as you want to. You guys know, but yeah. But when you, sometimes you got to use just baby wipes to get through, and that's kind of what the TV does for me when I'm away. It's just enough for my soul to get cleansed up with a baby wipe. But when I come here, it's like I'm taking a big nice bath. So I'm just soaking it all in, and that's a crude way to put it. But to the guys, we've all done it before. We know what I'm talking about. When you get to church, that's when you get filled up. That's when you get filled up. And I'm just glad to be back. I'm glad the Lord kept us safe. Anytime you're driving on the road, you know you're just driving along, and there's a horrific crash you come up on, or this or that. The Lord just blesses; He really does, and I'm just glad that He seemed fit to give us safe passage to and back, up and back. And I got to meet some people that I don't know, and got to know them a little bit, and that's always good. I enjoy that, and the Lord's been real good to me. Someone else with a witness for him. I'm rambling on. Bless you. Thank you. Lord's been good. That was the lowest time of my life I've ever had, and Lord's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Is good all the time. Amen. Someone else with a witness for him. Amen. We need to bless you. The Lord. I think there's a lot of people that's been praying for our country here recently. I think there's all politics aside, it's just evil, good versus evil, at every branch, at every level. And I just need to pray, continually pray for our country. This great nation we live in was founded on prayer, founded on God, and it continues to be that way as long as we keep praying. I believe that. Someone else. We're going to go to prayer. We need to go to prayer. Steve, you didn't let me forget. I appreciate that. We're going to go to prayer. And I know we need to remember Mary Jane Bragg's son, correct? With the prayer request that she had earlier. Please don't forget that. We also need to pray for the Douglas family. Johnny passed away. He was a member of the Praisemen. And I know they've been here and sang before, and we've seen them sing a lot. But remember that family. Yes. And the revival. Pray for the revival. Someone else with a prayer request. Bless you, Kay. Thank you. if that's all right with Kay.
Is that all right with Kay?
Yeah. That sounds good. Someone else with a prayer request while they get ready.
Continue to remember my sister, my mother. And
bless you, Robbie.
Tuesday morning, we're going to have to have a little outpatient surgery. We've got some kidney stone issues. So Tuesday morning at 11:30, I'll have your
drum. Amen. Bless you, Robbie.
Remember
Phyllis Coons. Continue to remember Audrey. Amen. Amen. Brian, Amy, and the children. So, amen. Yes, Paul. Bless you, Paula. Bless her, Lord. Bless you. Yes. Yes. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Sure. Bless you. Bless her heart. Yeah. Yeah. Bless her, Lord. Yes. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Amen. Thank the Lord for her. Amen.
Can we all those that need to be anointed or just be prayed with? We need this. This altar is not a beauty. It's a
right
thing that we need to use in God's glory.
Yes.
And sometimes I think we're afraid of it. It's a beautiful piece of furniture.
Bless you, Al. Bless you.
That was years ago, but in this year, he hasn't changed.
Right.
Still
amen. Amen. Someone else. Bless you,
Wednesday.
Kendra.
And
bless you, Kendra. Bless you,
Kim.
Amen. Amen. Bless your heart. Someone else. Yes. Bless them, Lord. Remember Aaron, Lord. Yes. Yes. Remember Aaron.
Remember the family of Joe and Shannon? She's a friend.
those that want to come up to the altar and pray, no matter what it is, if you want to bring it to the Lord, Kay, you come.
Bring it, and all of us that can meet us here, we'll just pray.
Amen. Time. Anybody that wants to bring anything to the Lord. one stands alone. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Robbie. Yes.
I'm glad he can do the things he does. You know, I was thinking back over last year what I went through, and you know, God orchestrated things in my body and in doctor's eyes that otherwise things wouldn't have been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it. I was listening to a bunch of revival CDs, the revivals clear back in 2012, and I thought about my situation and Gibson?
Gibson? Eddie Mullins.
Thank you. Yes. He was telling the story that he had a blood clot that moved. And he met with the doctors, and they said, you know, the blood clot went up this way through the lung, went this way through the lung, and then hung the left and went that way instead of hanging the right and going to the heart where to kill it. He said, you know, wasn't by, and they said it was by coincidence.
Yeah.
He said, no, yeah. It was a God going, you know what, you go all you want up through here, but mm-hmm. when you get there, you're going left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still got to work. And then I was talking to a doctor friend this week, and we were talking about my situation. And he said, you know, I had the same situation that we had a person went through an x-ray, and we found this exact same thing. They weren't looking for it, but they found it. And I just think, you know, God is so big.
He is.
God is so powerful.
He is.
God is so strong.
He is.
God does such little things.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Amen.
Called my name.
Way back.
I was playing church.
Way back.
I knew how.
Bless you, buddy.
He knew I wasn't real.
Yeah.
That I was fake. He called my name, and he saved me. That side of the altar in St. Albans. I drove down through there not too long ago, and I can no longer take you to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's not there. I don't remember where it's at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I take you to church.
Bless you, Robbie. You know, I hear this saying all the time, the devil's in the details, and that has one meaning. But let me tell you who's really got the details, God.
Yeah.
He, and I don't know, I've had something happen, I've mentioned it before, but he took me to the details. And if you've ever had something happen, and then God takes you back and lets you refresh and kind of right. look over the details that led up to whatever he blessed you,
yeah.
it's pretty amazing. And it could be the simplest thing, but he allows your mind to comprehend the details. And when it does, you think to yourself, what an awesome God.
Yeah.
He really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone else. Jimmy, is it you? You preaching? Well, you come. Al, you stand and you pray for Jimmy. I don't want to keep him from his message.
Those that went to the altar, Lord God, you know, Good evening. If you got your Bibles with you, let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. If you ever want to confuse a pastor, show up with a suit on like Kevin did tonight. I saw Kevin come in. I thought, oh, wait, maybe it's not my next preach. And then I got excited because I was like, I'm going to get to hear him. And I did get to hear him sing. But I look forward to hearing him preach sometime. But yeah, so when Tim looked at me and said, "Are you preaching?" I thought, I think so. I don't know. No. But you all bless me, Courtney. You know, you could tell that you're singing from the heart, and that last song you did that you wrote was just beautiful, beautiful. I love that. I love that verse. I love that chapter, John chapter 8, and just that story and. And you brought it to where it speaks to all of us, to where it speaks to all of us. He saw worth in all of us. And you know, that lady could go forth and tell other people about how much he saw in her and that he sees the same thing in them. You know, if God saw that, she could say, if God saw that in me, then he sees that worth in you. And I'm so glad you shared that with us tonight, so. Donnie, in his testimony, talked a little bit about how the guy preached from John 3:16 several times. Well, I'm going to preach from Psalm 23, and I think it might have been the last time I was up here I preached from Psalm 23. I'm going to do a little bit different, but kind of along the same lines as what he was talking about, using the same scriptures to look at some different things. So Psalm chapter 23, but we're only going to look at verse 3 right here to begin with. Been thinking about this a lot. He says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I've been thinking about that phrase, the paths of righteousness. And what got me thinking about that, Steve talked in his testimony about the whole thing going on this week with, or last week with Brett Kavanaugh and all that stuff. And that's really been bothering me this, you know. And I thought about the paths of righteousness and how the paths of righteousness are hard, and about how we go through those paths and doing the right thing is very, very hard sometimes. A lot of times it's very, very hard. And standing up for the right thing and making those decisions that are hard where you know that you're going to be criticized no matter which way you go. And so we face that. We've come through that. And I thought about the paths of righteousness that he talked about. You know, there's a poem that goes along with this time of year, and it's by Robert Frost. Many of you have heard of it, but it talks about, you know, the road less traveled is what it's called. And it talks about two paths, you know, diverged in a yellow wood. And it says at the very end that he took the path less traveled by and it has made all the difference. And I wanted to talk about that because David, in this Psalm 23, verse 3 says this. He said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What are the paths of righteousness? There's nothing easy about the path of righteousness. You know, I was thinking as I came here this evening, hopped right on the interstate and came along right down to church. And that road, interstate, it, you know, if you think about it, it's not really... It's not hard to get to anywhere when you go on the interstate. It's a lot different if you go on another road. And I began thinking of that and comparing that in our lives of how we have two choices a lot of times. We can go down the path of righteousness, which has a lot of turns and twists and scary parts in it. It gets narrow at times. It gets rocky at times. It goes up mountains and down hills and deep into some valleys. That's the path of righteousness that God calls us to go on. But then there's sometimes when we can take another path that's called the path of least resistance. And that path is a lot easier to take. And it's a lot broader and it's a lot wider to go down that path of least resistance than it is the path of righteousness. But you know, I thought about where are the people that we are to speak? They're not on the path of least resistance. The people, if you go on the interstate, you go along and it's two lanes, and if one gets slow, you can just get in the next one and go on, and you can get to where you're going fast. But there's no houses along the interstate. There's no people that you pass. Maybe there's people on the side of the road. But if you go along these roads, up and down these hollers, that's where people live. That's where the people are at. And just using this metaphorically, if we go on that path, that's where we need to be. Because that is where the people are. I thought about Peter, and I thought about how he was on the path of least resistance one day. He was there out in his comfort zone. He was out on the water with his father, with his father's company, with his workers and everything. He was doing what he loved best, what he knew best. He was doing what he felt he was called to do, and that was to go out and fish. He was good at it, very good at it. And then one day, a man named Jesus, a great and powerful man, a man showed up to Peter and he said, "Hey, I know you got a good thing going here. I know that this is what your life's work. I know that your dad did this and his dad before him, and I know that you're comfortable in the water, but I want you to take a different path with me, and I want you to start the journey of the path of righteousness with me." And that's what he did. He called Peter and he said, "You know, you're going to leave this place of comfort and you're going to go down on a different path that I'm going to take you on." Because, why? Why did he say that? Because this is all good and everything where you're at, but this isn't where the people are at. He said, "I need you to go with me and be fishers of men." And so he called him to go and to leave a life of comfort and to go on a path of righteousness that would go up and down and dark and light and everything in between, because that's where the people were that God wanted to reach. That's what he calls us to do. He calls us to the path of righteousness. It's very hard sometimes. You know, that interstate, what that does, if you look, you'll go right through mountains. It levels the mountains and it fills the valleys so that you aren't going up and down. You just go straight. And in our life, we have all of these things that come up. And on the paths of righteousness, when we do what God calls us to do, when we do what he is asking us to do, it's going to be scary sometimes, and it's going to be a rough path. And so I thought about all these great men of the Bible, and I thought about what God called them to do, thinking about what was going on this week and how scary it can be and how easy it could be to just give up, how easy it would be to just say, "You know what, I don't want to even deal with this, and I know it's wrong what's been done, but I just want to get rid of it." That would be the easy thing to do. And I thought about these people in the Bible. I thought about Moses. I thought about how his path of righteousness took him right back in the place that he had fled to begin with. He was out in the wilderness. He had a good life. He had a wife. He had a family. He was with his father-in-law looking after the herds. And one day God showed up and he said, "You know what? I know you're here. I know you're comfortable, but I've got another path I want you to take." And Moses said, "Okay, I'll do it." And he said, "What do you want me to do?" "I want you to go right back to the place where you fled. I want you to go right back to the place where you know, you're a fugitive. And I want you to work." That's where the people are. That's where the people are that you're supposed to help. So Moses' path of righteousness took him right back to Egypt, where he had fled many years before. I thought about David and how his path of righteousness took him straight down into the valley of Elah, where there was a great giant named Goliath that stood in front of him. That's where his path of righteousness took him. It wasn't David's bravery that took him down there. It wasn't David's obligation that took him down there. What it was a path of righteousness, because David knew that Goliath was doing something very wrong. He knew that Goliath was challenging the God of Israel. Goliath was challenging the army of Israel and challenging God. And David knew in his heart, and he said, "That's not right what he's doing." David said, "Nobody else is going to stand up to him, but I'll stand up in the name of God." Yeah. And so his path of righteousness took him right down in the valley of the shadow of death. But it said that he would fear no evil because God was with him. And you read the words of David, he wasn't afraid. He was not afraid. He went to Goliath and he said, "You know, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of God." Yeah. He wasn't afraid. Amen. Because he was on what? the path of righteousness. That's where he was. You know, in this verse, he says, it starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it talks about how God goes with him. Well, David found out very young that God would go with him wherever he called him to go. And so David's path of righteousness took him right through a big old giant. And you know what? Took him right over top of that giant too. He didn't stop right there. He knocked that guy over and he went right over top and he kept going. But it didn't end right there for David. I mean, his path was still continuing. He still had to flee from Saul. He still had to do all these things. And so it is with our life. Our path of righteousness doesn't just end. It doesn't just, you know, get real easy all of a sudden. And so, but doing the right thing, it takes a lot of courage. I thought about Daniel and how his path of righteousness took him straight through a lion's den. I mean, he was following his path that God told him to do, and it led straight down. You could just picture this path going straight down into a lion's den. And I'm sure Daniel probably faced with some tough decisions. What would you do? It's easy to say we'll follow God. Would you follow God in front of, 10 hungry lions? You know? But that path of righteousness, and Daniel put his trust in the Lord, and that path of righteousness took him straight through the lion's den. I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wednesday night, I taught the little ones over there, and we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Addie was in there, she remembers. And we talked about that and how their path of righteousness took them into a furnace. Their path of righteousness, it wasn't a mistake, but it was the path of righteousness. That's where God led them, was into a furnace, and he took care of them. But I always go back to their answer whenever they went before the king and they said, we're not careful to answer you in this. God can deliver us from this fiery furnace, but if he doesn't, just know this, we'll never bow down to you because we only bow down to God. Now, there were thousands of people, thousands of Jews in Babylon at that time. There were, I believe they were in Babylon. Or, I can't remember where they were, Persia, okay? But there were many people that were there when King Nebuchadnezzar made that decree. And you know what? There were many people who didn't want to bow down and worship King Nebuchadnezzar. There were many people that felt conflicted about bowing down whenever they heard the music, bowing down and worshiping someone other than their God. They were very conflicted about that. But you know what? They chose the path of least resistance. And they said, hey, if it's going to save my life, then I'll do it. And by doing that, they compromised the very values that God had instilled in them to begin with. I'm sure it was hard to live with that, the rest of their life. But not these three. These three chose to follow the path of righteousness, and it led them, for his sake. I thought about this. I thought about several others from the Old Testament. And I want to ask you, I think I might have done this before, but I want to ask you some questions. I want to ask you, has anybody in your family, or is there anybody that you know that has the name of Shemua? Anybody know a Shemua? No? Okay. How about Shaphat? Shaphat. Anybody work with a Shaphat? Okay. All right. How about this? How about Egal? Anybody go to church at one time with somebody named Egal? Okay, all right. How about this? How about Oshea? Did anybody name their kid Oshea in here? Okay, nobody. Don't have any of those. How about Palti? Anybody know Palti? Anybody heard of anybody named Palti? Okay. How about, let's see, we're like 0 for 6 right now. How about Gadiel? Gadiel? Anybody? No? Don't have a grandpa named Gadiel or anything? How about Amiel? Amiel, okay. Has anybody raised their hand yet? I don't think so. How about Sether? Sether. Sether. Nope. Sether. How about Nabi? Nabi? Anybody got anybody named Nabi? I'm getting to a point here. Don't just bear with me. I'm not going to read 100 of these. How about Geuel? G-E-U-E-L. Okay. Now listen to this. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. These are the name of the men that Moses sent out to spy the land that was promised to the Israelites. We've never heard of them. Does anybody know anybody named Joshua? Raise your hand if you know anybody named Joshua. Okay. Anybody know anybody named Caleb? Raise your hand if you know anybody named Caleb. Well, yeah. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God sent 12 people? He commanded Moses to send 12 people to go on what? On the path of righteousness. That this was the place that they were supposed to take. This was their promised land. Think about that word, promised land. It was promised to them by God. And yet they took the path of least resistance and they said, you know what? We can't take it. We can't take it. We're happy where we're at right now. But Joshua and Caleb said, hey, we can take this land because God has promised it to us. And so we still celebrate their name today. We all know people by these names, but we don't know any of these other ones because they were willing to take the path of least resistance. They wanted the easy way, and they weren't willing to do the right thing. Now, 2 out of 10, that's what we're dealing with. Numbers. William Penn once said this, right is right even if everyone is against it, and wrong is wrong even if everyone is for it. Even if everyone is for it. We get caught up with trying to be on the right side of society. We get caught up on trying to be popular. But I'm telling you, that the path of righteousness, you won't be popular when you're on the path of righteousness. Because you're only trying to please one, and that is God. If you're trying to please men, then you're on the path of least resistance. But the path of righteousness is what God calls us to do. He tells us in our heart what he needs us to do and when we need to follow that. When we need to follow our truth, follow the truth that God has sent forth and to be moral. And so the path of righteousness a lot of times is a lonely path because you might be unpopular. I know for as a kid, being a Christian in high school or college, it's a lonely path to be on the path of righteousness. It is. Because all your friends are out doing this stuff, and they want you to do it too. And so you're forced to either have to compromise or to be different. But God calls us to be on the path of righteousness. He calls us to stay strong. He calls us to do that, and that we will be blessed, and not to compromise our values. And so as kids, it's so important. As young people, it's so important. As adults, it's so important not to get caught up in what the world says is right. But then I thought about Jesus and I thought about his path of righteousness. Think about his path, where he began, his humble beginnings, beginning in the field, in the stable, beginning in the stable. And then as a young man, they had to flee into Egypt because of persecution. That was his path. And then he comes back and people underestimate him and people say all these things about him and he's forced to go out into the wilderness and he's forced to face temptation and he's forced to face ridicule and he's got all these people after him. He's got all the religious leaders of the time that are after him and he's living a life and they're trying to catch him up in every little thing. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? When they're trying to catch you up in every little thing, not because they don't like you, but because you represent something that is a threat to them. When you represent truth, when you represent the ways that are true, then you are a threat to the world. And so they will try to destroy you. Satan will try to destroy you because Satan does not like the light. And so Jesus, his path of righteousness took him all through this way. And you talk about ups and downs. One day he was a conquering hero. And a few days later, he was the lowest of low in the eyes of the people in Jerusalem. One day they're saying hail and praises to the king. And a few days later they're saying crucify him, put his blood on us and our children. Crucify him. You talk about some ups and downs in a person's life, up and down. And Jesus, for him, the path of righteousness was hard, probably the hardest of all. And yet his path took him straight. We talked about going straight into Egypt. We talked about going into the Valley of Elah. We talked about going into the lion's den. We talked about going into the fiery furnace. But his path led him straight to crucifixion, straight to Golgotha and Calvary. And he faced that cross for us. He faced that cross for us. His path of righteousness made a way for us to be saved. And he made a way for us to follow in what he had done. So when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So David talks about this journey, this path that he's on, righteousness. And where does it lead? Where does it lead? In the house of the Lord forever. See, we're on our path right now. All of us in here are on that path right now. And we're all on different parts of it. Some of us are in the valley of the shadow of death because we're facing things, or our family are facing things that are very scary. Some of us are in those dark places. Some of us might be in green pastures right now. We might have just got some good news, and we might feel good about where we're at this moment. But you never know when it's going to turn. You never know when it's going to take a tumble. You never know when it's going to go down. But don't fear, because Jesus is there. God is there. He leads us. He is our shepherd, and he leads us on our paths of righteousness. He was with Moses every step of the way. He was with David. He was with the Hebrew boys. He was with Jesus. And God is with us, and he is our shepherd. He will take us. He will go with us. And he will provide a way where there is no way. Whether, you know, whether the world says we're right or we're wrong, the world might stone us. The world might muddy our name. And they might come and they might say the worst things. They might threaten you and threaten your family. And they might do the worst things because you're standing up for something, because you're trying to do something good. But that's Jesus said that the world hated me, and they're going to hate you also. They hated me, and they're going to hate you. And so we just need to worry about our path and how God wants us to do the things that he needs us to do. As we get, we're going to get a song of invitation. Courtney's going to come back up. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says this: "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That last part should send chills up and down your spine. "And few there be that find it." How many spies were sent out? 12. How many really said that they could take the land? Only 2 of them. Only 2. It's the same way in this world. Broad is the way to destruction. Kevin talked about in his, before he sang, talked about being saved because someone told him about hell and about destruction and about how you get there through your sin, and how you get there when you're not saved, when you don't call on the name of Christ. Before I end, I'll say this. Paul was on the path of least resistance, because he was part of the ones that were persecuting the Christians. The Christians were a very small minority at that time, and Paul saw them as a threat. He wanted to get rid of them. And so he went along and he was doing these things, and he was safe because, hey, he was the persecutor. And then one day on the road to Damascus, Jesus changed his path. And he said, all right, from now on, I need you to go on the path of righteousness. What did that mean for Paul? What that means was he was turning from the persecutor to the persecuted. He was changing his life from he was the one that was going after people to where he was going to be, people were going to go after him. He was the one that was popular, and now he's going to be unpopular. But you know why he did it? You know why he did it? Because it was the path of righteousness. And he was taking the path to where the people were. He was taking the path to see people saved. He was taking the path that was going to lead to seeing souls saved. And that's the path of righteousness. And it changed his life. And he was willing to go through all of those bad things, all of the beatings, all of the shipwrecks, all of the things that Satan could throw in his way. He was willing to do that because he was willing that none should perish. That last line, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We need to be the ones to help them find it. We need to be the ones to help them find it. How do we do that? We do our path of right. We go on our path of righteousness, and we go where God calls us to go, no matter what. No matter what it looks like, we go on that path that God calls us to go. It might look like it goes into destruction, but he will make a way for us. As we get a song of invitation, if you have a need here this evening, you bring it to the cross. Bring it to the one that took care of it all for us. As we get a song, let's go.
Your heart's been broken, or how